Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 is the passage we're going to be looking at today. This is an oft-quoted passage, and for good reason, because it is very instrumental in our Christian walk. Before I read it, I want you to take a look at this photo. My wife had to step out right now. If she were to look at this, she would be thinking, nope. These are people from a particular village in China. I will not attempt to pronounce it because I'm sure I will mispronounce it, and terribly so. But this is back in 2012, and there was a drought that had come upon this area, this particular province of China. And they were forced to make a kilometer-long trek, a little less than a mile, kilometer-long trek in a path, in some places looking just like this. And sometimes they had to do this several times a day just for water so that they could survive in their village. You'll notice that there's only, in this picture anyway, only children, and this man here has a cane and gray hair. He's an elderly gentleman, because all the people, the young people of a working age, were out in the city working. But they still had to survive. They had children and older people that needed the water. They even closed this school for a little while and organized what is called a children's column for the extraction of water. They took turns getting the water, often always accompanied by an adult. Look what these people were willing to go through just for water. And I say just for water, it is an essential part of life, a need that we all have. But they were willing to go through these lengths. For them, it was either this or death. Could you make that choice? And you're thinking, well, you might be thinking, well, that doesn't seem like it'd be too bad. I mean, if they slipped a little bit, they might hurt something. Well, there's the cliffside. That, if they slipped and fell, means death. And yet their children and the elderly people were willing to make this trek. Jesus tells us about another very difficult path. We see this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, we have this idea of a difficult path. Okay, sure. But when we visualize that, we realize just how difficult that path can be. The path that the Christian must take or must make is so that he can have life. This is contrasted here in this passage with the broad way that leads to destruction. There we go. So we see the background image. There are two paths here. There's an easy path that is paved and a path that is a dirt road. I'm sure you're thinking, you might live on a dirt road and that's fine. But for those of us who don't, we're thinking, oh, there's a dirt road. Man, I really don't want to go on a dirt road. First off, it's bumpy. I've been to the Russo's house a few times. They've got a very fun driveway there. It's bumpy. It's hilly. It's not, I've seen worse. But it's a fun little drive. So when we see a dirt road, though, we don't want to go down that if we can avoid it, because we don't know what is ahead of us in there. And sometimes it's very treacherous. Sometimes there was one time I was on a dirt road, and I was trying to get around some traffic, and I looked at my GPS, and I thought, oh, there's a road here, and I went all around, eventually realizing that every place every entrance was gated except for the one that I entered in. So I ended up having to go back around anyway. But it was so dangerous in some parts because it was my car could barely fit through some sections, and there was a deep trench on that particular side. So could my car make it? It did, thankfully. But there are some of those paths are very treacherous. My wife's car that's out there now, we try to go up particular paths sometimes, especially when we were living in Virginia. And some of those hills are very steep, and it's very difficult to get up them. And the car wouldn't do it. And so sometimes we have that difficulty as well. But whenever you're driving down a path, driving down an interstate highway, do you ever miss a turn? You miss an exit? Maybe you're driving down a long road for a long ways, and you realize, oh, I just missed my turn. Now, with these days of GPS, that's less likely, but sometimes that still happens. In fact, I remember doing that when I, before GPS, when I was going back and forth to college. I was living in Sanford. Well, my parents were in Sanford, North Carolina, and I was going to college in Charleston, South Carolina. And there's that intersection between I-95 and I-26, and sometimes I'm driving down the interstate, and, I mean, that's a major interchange. But I missed it entirely. That happened several times. So I had to eventually memorize, because I didn't have GPS, I had to memorize the exit number to make sure I was on the right path. I don't remember it now because of GPS. But sometimes we make that wrong turn, or we miss our turn. How long does it take you to notice sometimes? We're often on autopilot in that particular situation. And sometimes we operate our lives on autopilot. We're not paying attention. We're just going with the flow. We have our priorities in our lives. Our priorities, and we're told this perhaps from our parents, perhaps from society, we're told that our priorities should be, have a job, make money, have a family, take care of their kids, and save up enough for retirement. Now, are those bad goals? No, of course not. In fact, some of those goals are required of us. We need to provide for our family. That is very important. But we don't stop and think about what's truly important. Or perhaps we think we already know what's important. Yes, those things we talked about, they are important. But all of these things are temporary. They last for a little while, and then they are gone. Even if it lasts for the rest of our lives, that's still temporary. It feels permanent, but that is still temporary. What good is your kids having a college degree if they don't end up in heaven? What good is your kid having a college degree if you miss out on heaven? Is a college degree important? Oh, yeah. In a lot of cases, it is. Not everyone needs to have one, I don't think. But for some people, that's an important thing. And you want your kid to have all the opportunities that they can have, but if they miss out on heaven, what's the point? What's the point? Of course, I'm not saying don't do these things. Yes, save up for retirement. Yes, help your kids get to college. Yes, do all these things. But we got to make sure that our priorities are in order. Remember, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which we had a lesson on a few weeks ago. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, the problem with operating on autopilot is we never stop to think about the priorities, about those priorities, or how to put them into practice. We do not ask. We do not seek. We do not knock. And if we do, we don't knock on the right doors. We don't ask the right questions. We don't seek the right things. That's, of course, what we talked about last week, Matthew 7, 7 through 8. So we pass by the narrow gate without even noticing. We miss our turn. Our attention is placed elsewhere. Job advancement, perhaps. What sports should my kids play? How much is in my 401k? We get distracted by these things. We get distracted perhaps not by what sports our kids should play, but what sports other kids are playing in college. And we enjoy sports. Not me, but I'm sure some of you do. and I have the things that I enjoy. But we can't let ourselves be distracted by these things, especially from what's truly important. You know, it may feel like we're moving. It may feel like we're making progress, but really all we're doing is moving to a different position on that broad path, just like an interstate. Just like an interstate. We're just changing lanes. One person is worried about his retirement. This other person's worried about his kids going to college. This person is worried about this, that, or the other. But they're not worried about their souls. And perhaps some of these are worried about their souls, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're not looking for that narrow path. They're just changing lanes. It's like finding the best spot on the Titanic. Trying to find the best seats. Oh, yeah, you're on the Titanic. I'm in first class. Yeah, but your ship's going down. Your ship is going down. Ultimately, this path leads to destruction. Not this one, I don't think. I found a picture of an interstate on the internet. I don't think that path leads to destruction particularly. But we know that the broad path talked about here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, does lead to destruction. It leads to a dead end. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, says that the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into a ditch. These blind folks, they not only include those on autopilot, but those who are seeking after truth, but they think they found it, and they quit looking. They might have sought truth at some point, but they stopped looking once they think they found it. This includes those blinded by their so-called prophet. Yes, I'm talking about Islam. I'm also talking about Mormonism. They are blinded by their prophet or other religious leaders that they might have. They're blinded by their traditions. They're blinded by their feelings. Christ is the only way to heaven. John 14:6 tells us this, that no man comes to the Father except through Christ. Christ is the only way to get to heaven. He is that narrow gate. He is that narrow gate. So those who are on that wide path leading to that interstate highway picture that we just showed, that broad way that leads to destruction, those people are on autopilot. Those people may be half-hearted seekers. They're seeking after truth, but only think they found it, and then they stop looking. Should we, even in the churches of Christ, should we ever think that we have found truth and stop looking? Never. As long as we have breath, we need to keep looking, keep searching. The half-hearted seekers, those with misplaced priorities, are on that path. And that path, as we see, leads to destruction. This path leads to destruction, to death, separation from God for an eternity. It leads to hell. And the saddest part about this, the saddest part, is that many find that path. Many go in by it. You see, I've mentioned this before, and I'm sure I'll mention it again. Humans, we're like electricity. We like to follow the path of least resistance. And that path leads to hell. And that is unfortunate. Many go in by it. Many go that way. And you see, that's not what God wants. God doesn't want us to follow that path of least resistance. God doesn't want us to go down this broad path. He wants us all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. But the grim reality is that the majority of people will not make it. Some people say, oh yeah, but so many people are this particular religion, this particular denomination, believe this particular thing. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. Because Jesus says right here, most people are on that broad path leading to destruction. Surely you've told your kids this if you've got kids. Surely you might have told other kids this. Surely you were told this. If everyone jumped off a bridge, would you do it? If everyone were jumping off of a bridge, that's the path of least resistance. You're going with the flow. Oh, hey, everyone's doing this thing. Why don't we join them? Would you do it? I'm not talking about if you got a bungee cord. I'm not talking about if there's a soft landing. I'm talking about to destruction, to death. That's effectively what Jesus is asking here. We cannot simply go with the flow. Instead, we have that narrow path. As we look at this dirt road, well, let's back up. As we look at this dirt road, as I mentioned before, when we consider a dirt road, if we're not comfortable with dirt roads, if we're not familiar with them, especially if we're not sure what's ahead, we don't want to go on a dirt road. First off, especially with the rain now, there's that washboard effect that happens on some dirt roads, and so you get the bumping all over the place. You don't want to have to deal with that. Mess up your shocks. You're going to jostle things around in your car. You've got the water flowing down if you've got hills, and they wash away part of the road, and that's a problem. You don't know if that's going to be a problem as well. So there's all these issues with a dirt road. I think, I'm glad that we have pavement for most roads. But see, that dirt road is the path we need to go on. As a Christian, we need to be on that path. There could be some narrow or steep places. And there are many places where we might stumble and fall. We might even decide to turn around and go back. Like I mentioned earlier, that dirt road I was on, I had to go around and turn back. Otherwise, I'd have to cut some locks, and I wasn't about to do that. No one ever said that the Christian life was easy. No one ever said that. And if they did, they were selling you something. They were lying. The Christian life is not easy. In fact, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, of course, the persecution we face is nowhere near the persecution that they faced, but there is some degree of that. Early in the Sermon on the Mount, when we looked at chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, we see that Jesus said that we are blessed when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that we should rejoice when we've been persecuted. But there's not only the external persecutions that we faced, but there is also the internal struggles, and that's most common for us. That's perhaps the more difficult for us as Christians in America in the 21st century. Sin keeps calling us back. Sin keeps calling us back. We still have our own desires. They don't just go away when we are baptized. We still have our own desires, and Satan tries to exploit those things to tempt us to do the wrong thing, to tempt us to sin, to tempt us to go back onto that broad path. It takes diligence. I mix those two up. It takes diligence and vigilance to keep on that straight and narrow. Just like these people in that Chinese village. They needed to do this for the survival of their village, for their loved ones, so that they could live. Just as we need to make that commitment. We need to go on that path. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. There's a parallel here that I think is very important to consider. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this particular passage, we see several things that are talked about. That path, though, that we face, that path, that dirt road that we see up there, could lead to that same path that the people from that Chinese village was on. It could lead to a path like this, with twists and turns all over the place, and pitfalls and things that could really hurt you if you fall off of that path. But Peter mentions several things that will help you. And in verse 10, if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's a promise. If we do these things, we will never stumble. And those things, the list of characteristics, sometimes called the Christian graces, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If we do these things, we will stay on that path. We will not stumble. How many of us stumble? I think we've all been there. And if we were to examine why we stumbled, why we've faltered, it's because we're missing out on one or more of these traits. Our faith isn't where it needs to be. We're missing on virtue. We lack some kind of knowledge. We fail to persevere. We lack godliness. We forget to be kind to our brothers, and we forget love. With all these things, you know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you lack love, you have nothing. That's what Paul says effectively in 1 Corinthians 13. I can have all sorts of things, but I have not love, I have nothing. I have nothing. If we possess these traits in verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's an amazing thing. If we lack them, then we become blind, unable to find that narrow gate. Remember, what happens when the blind lead the blind? They both fall into a ditch. And if we're on that path, on that broad path, and we have blinders on, we're not looking, we're short-sighted, even to blindness, then we're not going to see that narrow path to help us in that right direction. We see that we must also possess diligence. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. And then he says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And then in verse 11, an entrance will be supplied. We might consider that an off-ramp, an exit ramp. An exit will appear. It will be supplied if we do these things, and we can get off that broad path and get onto the narrow one through Christ. That narrow gate leads to life. Leads to life. We have other passages that we can look at. 1 John chapter 1. We we quote this often, and I think we should. And I'm going to quote it again because it's a fantastic thing to consider. First John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we're walking on that path, are we walking in the light? You betcha. Oh yeah, we're walking in the light, we're walking on that path, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sometimes we falter because we miss out on some of these things, but that doesn't mean that we fall off the path. Instead, we might stumble, but it doesn't mean that we're going to fall off the path. We're still going to be walking in the light. Especially, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to confess our sins to the people who are the appropriate people. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults to one another so that people can pray for you. And that's what we do at the end of our services for those who are Christians. If you need to confess your faults to us, we can pray for you. If you want to pray to the Lord, confess your sins to him, then we have that evidence here in this passage. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We need to confess our sins to our Lord because in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, the purpose, of course, is not to sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Someone's going to speak for you. Someone is going to speak on your behalf. You don't have to pay an advocate. Another word for that is a lawyer. You don't have to pay Jesus because you can't earn his advocacy. You can't earn salvation. But you still have to book him. You still have to reserve that spot. And that's what we do when we become a Christian. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let us also walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5. I'm not going to turn there, but you can. You can write that down if you need to. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. It's a long read, but in that passage, we see the fruit of the Spirit. We see actions that we need to do in conjunction with these, there's some overlap. Love is in there. Peace, long suffering, patience, all these things. We need to, self control is among those things as well. We need to do those things so that we will not stumble. But then we also need to avoid the works of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, abiding by these fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, and if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're following the Scriptures, we are living in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. That's not just a walk. That is abiding by what the Spirit has told us to do. And the Spirit has told us what to do through His Word, through the Scriptures. So if we abide by these things, we'll be on that right path. We notice that this path leads to life. This path leads to life. On that path are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you think the people in that Chinese village were thirsty? Oh, yeah. They were thirsting for water. And so we too need to thirst for righteousness and brave that difficult path so that we can have it, so that we can achieve it, so that we can take the benefit from it. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. These people on this path are true seekers, people who never stop. You know, we all have the opportunity to come to the knowledge of the truth. But the question is, are we ever going to stop? We all have the opportunity. And if we keep searching, if we keep looking, we'll find it. In our lifetime, we will find it. And so we need to keep searching. We need to keep looking. True seekers are on that narrow path. On that narrow path are also those who put God first, who have the proper priorities, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. No matter the struggles that we have here on this earth, it will all be worth it in the end. No matter what we have to give up, no matter what pain we might be experiencing, no matter what anguish, heartache that we have, it will all be worth it in the end. All the pain that we have on this earth is temporary. All the suffering that we have will last only a little while, and then we die. We'll be at peace, and if we're at least physically, we'll be at peace, and then if we're a Christian, we'll be at peace spiritually too in heaven with our Lord. Some will struggle more than others, and that's true. Some will struggle more than others. We all have different paths that we walk. We all have different things that we face. But we all struggle. There's no such thing as a life without struggle, without hardship. If there is, I'd like to meet that person. See what they've done to experience that. Such things are impossible. Sometimes we might feel like throwing in the towel. Sometimes we're on that narrow path and it's so hard. The struggle is so difficult. We might feel like, well, I'm just going to turn back and I'm going to go back on that broad path because it's easier. We feel like throwing in the towel. And you know what? It is easier. But I'm sure many of the early Christians might have thought that too. When they were being martyred, when they were being killed, thrown to the lions, burned to provide light for a Roman emperor's garden. I'm sure they might have thought, it would be easier for me just to worship this false god, this pagan idol. It would have been easier for me to do these things than it would be for me to maintain my faith and maintain my confession for our Lord. But many of them did succumb to that. But many of them didn't. They realized their eternal home in heaven, and so must we. You see, this path leads to life. If we truly put God first and truly understand what that means, this path leads to life. But again, the sad part about it is only a few people find it. Only a few people find it. This is not the path that the majority of folks will find. This path is only for those who truly hunger and thirst for righteousness, who truly seek after His kingdom and His righteousness, who truly put God first in all things. Not their feelings, not their wishes, not their creeds, not their traditions, but after God's commands, His wishes. Not my wishes, His. What did Jesus pray in the garden? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. That's the example for us. We want His will to be done, not our will. His wishes, His word need to be our guiding principles. Unfortunately, not many people seek long and hard enough to find that narrow path. And there are many who find it who reject it as well. But you know what? We all have the opportunity. We all have the opportunity, but we must all ask. We must all seek, we must all knock, and keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, remember? We've got to obey the will of the Father in heaven. Ask, seek, knock, Matthew chapter 7, 7 and 8. Seek first, Matthew 6, 33. Obey the will of the Father in heaven, Matthew 7:21, and make sure that we are on a sure foundation. Matthew 7:25-26. So all of this connects with each other. And that's one of the beautiful things about Scripture, that when they put this together, it all connects. It all makes sense. Next week, we'll talk about false teachers. And so that's a problem too. We got to make sure that if we're truly seeking, we got to make sure that whatever we're seeking is the truth and not following after something false. See, the good news, first off, there is no game. This is no game. This is a matter of eternal life and eternal destruction. But the good news is that you have a choice. You can either take the easy path, or take that rough path. Really, when we consider the outcomes, the choice is easy. That tough path leads to eternal life. And I ask that you choose life this morning. I'm going to close with a poem that you probably read in school at some point by Robert Frost, "The Road Not Taken." Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down, one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black, oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I ever should come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. For us, I pray that if you take the road less traveled by, if you take the narrow path that leads to life, I pray that you never come back. I pray that it has made all the difference for you. And I pray that you keep on that path and that it leads to life for you, as I pray it leads to life for me. This morning, we have a chance for you to take that road less traveled, to take that narrow path, to go by that gate through Christ. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, you have that chance. We know what we've got to do. We've got to believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. When we've done that, we have started that path, but it's not over. As we've talked about, that path is narrow in places. That path is treacherous in others, perhaps in the same place. And we know that each one of us need help on that path. And so if you need help this morning on that path, we stand ready to help if you need it, please. If you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.